The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to a special edition here of the Ruthless Aggression Podcast. My name is Chris. I'm joined by Rob. Pierce is not with us at the moment due to some scheduling issues and conflicts. We will be bringing you this episode here, which will just be focusing on the 2 weeks of television between March 20th, 2006, and I believe it would have been March 31st So that leads in, and that would obviously lead into WrestleMania weekend, which I believe was on April 2nd, 2006. Okay, so we'll be doing that, and then we'll have a special episode talking about WrestleMania 22 and WrestleMania 38, which of course is a two-night spectacular that we will be predicting and talking about on our next episode. So like I said, this one here is just about 2006. So Rob, take it away here as we begin going back here. Although, actually, before I start, there is some relevant information to discuss from March 2006. Beyond this day, in March 20th, 2006, the day of Raw, when it was in Memphis, Tennessee, Japan beat Cuba to win the first World Baseball Classic at Petco Park in San Diego, and pitcher Daisuke Matsuzaka, who would later go on to join the Boston Red Sox, of course, was named the MVP.
Yes.
So that, that first WBC wrapped up with, you know, Japan taking it home.
Yeah.
So but other than that, you know, there was some other things that we will get into. Also, Paul Tagliabue announced that he will retire in July. So that is obviously a consequential move for the NFL in their future, because as we all know, Roger Goodell will eventually eventually assume duties as NFL commissioner.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so let's go into Raw here. Like we said, it's from Memphis, Tennessee. However, of course, there's some relevant things that need to be discussed first.
Yes, the top five songs up to number five is Bad Day by Daniel Powder.
And it looks like the rest of the top four just remain the top four.
Yep.
So everything that we've been saying. So Sick by Neo remains the number one song in America. Temperature, You're Beautiful, and Be Without You by Sean Paul, James Blunt, and Mary J. Blige comprise the remainder of the top five. Now going into movies.
Yes, number five is Hills of Eyes, down from number three, debuting at four, She's the Man. Down to number three from number two is Shaggy Dog, down from two to one is Failure to Launch, debuting at number one is V for Vendetta.
A movie that people will still quote to these days.
Yeah, yeah, they will.
To this day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like I said, Raw, March 20th, 2006, from FedEx Forum, I believe, in Memphis, Tennessee. Home of the Memphis Grizzlies. Spirit Squad opened up the show in the ring. They obviously did a pro Vince and Shane chair, and you've probably seen that gif of Vince walking through the confetti. And that's where the source material is from.
Yes. I've
been seeing a lot of gif source material lately. So Vince said that the greatest creation wasn't WrestleMania, and it was actually Shane McMahon and Stephanie McMahon. Said that WrestleMania will be the end of the line for Shawn, and it's going to be a no-holds-barred match between the two of them. However, tonight, Shawn will be in action against Triple H, which brought John Cena out, because if anyone's going to face Triple H, it's going to be him. Vince said Shawn and Cena can team up against Triple H and Shane McMahon then in the main event.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Triple H and Shane McMahon team up in that fashion since probably the Corporation.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely been a while. So yeah, that'll be exciting.
Yes, it was either the Corporation or the McMahon-Helmsley faction.
Yeah,
2000, one of the two.
Right. So we moved to our first match, Kane against Carlito. Kane wins with choke slam. I guess later tonight we will see Big Show face Chris Masters.
Most likely.
The Blackjacks are going into the Hall of Fame, so they're the tag team this year. You know, the Blackjacks obviously comprised of, I always forget their names, it was Blackjack Mulligan and Blackjack Lanza, who obviously were, I think it's Barry Windham's dad and, IRS's dad, I believe, right?
Yeah.
That's
correct.
Sounds right, I think. I might have had those flipped around.
Let's see.
Yeah, because I think Blackjack Mulligan, yeah, he is Barry Windham's dad, and also Kendall Windham's dad.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So that's who the Blackjacks were. And obviously an influence on a lot of those Texas wrestlers growing up. Yeah, so they're a cool tag team. They'll be fun to see them get inducted. We go back to the arena. We get Ric Flair versus Rob Van Dam versus Shelton Benjamin Intercontinental title match. Confetti from when Vince and Shane came out was still falling, which I thought was very funny.
Yes.
Flair was bleeding, and then later in the match, you know, Shelton was outside the ring, and Flair put RVD in the figure four, but Shelton came back in and pinned Flair while the hold was locked in. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I still think that, you know, when it comes to Money in the Bank, that this shouldn't be Flair, it should be Carlito.
Yeah, probably.
I get it, I guess, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It feels like, I've discussed this, but it feels like either, and I get that they felt they probably had to keep Shelton in Money in the Bank because of how well he did the year before.
Yeah.
But honestly, at this stage, I would have probably preferred Shelton have an Intercontinental title match against Flair, because him beating Ric Flair at WrestleMania to retain the title is, like, a big deal. And obviously, we've waxed poetic about Shelton on this show.
Yes.
Justifiably so. I just think that it would have been a little bit better. Now, yes, that does create a problem of, okay, who's the sixth guy? Well, you know, you've been pushing Masters anyway. Or you've been having Kane or Big Show in it. I mean,
yeah, but then, you know...
You had Kane in it last year.
What do you do with Kane and Big Show then, though? That's the thing.
You know what? At this point in time, I wasn't expecting the tag titles to be defended at WrestleMania.
Mm.
Let's look at the past couple of years with that.
Yeah.
Last year, there weren't any tag title matches at all whatsoever. The tag champs faced each other in the opener.
Yeah.
In 2004, they had the same match happen on both shows. They had a fatal four-way. 2003, the World Tag Titles were defended on Sunday Night Heat, and they were defended in a pretty good match on the Mania card for SmackDown. But it's like, again, it's like, I wasn't expecting it. But at this point in time, you're going on, like, what, like 4 years without an IC title defense at Mania?
Yeah.
So you can start seeing the, you know, the depreciation of the mid-card at this point.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
The U.S. title has gotten run, but at this point, you know, it's going to be two times in, like, 3 years now, obviously, but that's doing at least better.
Yeah.
I just think that, like, there could have been some better, you know, piece put together. I don't, the way that the plan pans out isn't necessarily bad, but I think that could have just been a better way to do it. Especially since they're having Shelton face RVD, spoiler alert, they're having Shelton face RVD for Money in the Bank in the IC title at Backlash.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, okay, well, yes, Shelton's been a good Intercontinental champ, but, like, you know, he was and legitimately still is missing a great IC title defense at a pay-per-view.
That's fair. Yeah.
Because he never had one.
No.
I mean, if you think about it, he never had one. He faced Maven at New Year's Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian match was good, but that was so early on.
Yeah.
And obviously that was, you know, that only got so much time. And then he had the match against Carlito at Vengeance, but that wasn't a title defense.
No.
It was a title match because he lost.
Yeah.
So at this point, it's like, I don't know. I think they could have thrown Shelton the ball.
Yeah, that's fair.
But we've talked about that in the past.
Yes.
So, Mike Fratello and the 2005-2006 Memphis Grizzlies are in the house.
Yes. But again, you know, they didn't seem to have Pau Gasol or Shane Battier with them. And looking at the roster, those are the only two I would have recognized.
That's just a good team that year, though.
Yeah, they made the playoffs. I think that was their first time making the playoffs in Memphis, and maybe the year before they did.
It's possible.
Actually, they were fairly good when they got, like, they once were. They once they got Pau.
No, I mean, they made the playoffs 3 years in a row, from in 03-04, 04-05, and 05-06.
Yeah, I didn't realize Jerry West was the GM, so that kind of makes sense. He's very good at that. But yeah, they were good, and then they got bad.
Yes.
And then they got good again. Yes. And,
now they're very good again.
Yeah, now they're good again. So, but yeah, so it was fun to see them. Mick Foley's here. Said that Ed was right. You know, Foley's never had a WrestleMania moment. When Foley tasted his own blood at Saturday night's main event, it tasted different. He wanted to taste it again, but not his blood, Edge's blood. Edge has awoken something in him that was sleeping for too long. And that's the truth, and the truth hurts. Bang, bang. Lita comes out and says that Edge is injured from the one-man concerto. He's still in Detroit. He's not even in Memphis. You know, Mick made his point in WrestleMania. You know, maybe Mick and Edge can just have a straight-up match without thumbtacks or barbed wire or anything, and Mick can just prove to his kids that, you know, he can wrestle and have a big WrestleMania moment. And Mick asks Lita to slap him, and eventually she does, and then he puts a mandible claw on her. Edge comes out and fully turns his attention to him. Lita tries for a low blow, but Mick blocks it. And then puts the mandible claw back on her as Edge watches. It's good. It's what it needed to be.
Yep. Failed plan, snafu, and, well, there you go.
Yep.
Victoria beat Tori in a match that definitely happened. Big Show and Chris Masters wrestled for a bit. Masters hit Big Show with a chair for the disqualification, threw him into the ring post, and softened him up for a bit. I think that's the right decision. You can't have both your, you know, champions or challengers win on the same night.
Yeah.
And Big Show can't really lose because he's Big Show, so just have him be a DQ and just be beaten up after the match.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
So Mickie James, of course, turned on Trish Stratus on Saturday night's main event. Is in the ring with a large gift box for Trish. She understands if she doesn't want to be her friend anymore, but she got her a gift anyway. She'd like to come out and get it. Then, you know, her music hits and the box is lifted and it's someone under a sheet on a chair and pulled it off, and wow, it's Ashley Massaro.
Yeah.
So Mickie tells Trish to, you know, get back or whatever. And eventually Trish gets in the ring. They beat up each other for a bit. Mickie got the upper hand and hit her Mickie DDT or Mickie DT or whatever she calls it. It's a jumping elevated DDT. It's pretty vicious.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, knocked her out.
Yeah.
And they're facing each other for the title at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a good build.
Yes, it has.
We get to the main event, Triple H and Shane against John Cena and Shawn Michaels. And, you know, I think this warrants a bigger conversation, probably not next week, maybe the week after. But, you know, shout out to Triple H. He had to retire, obviously, because of everything going on with him, you know, outside of ESPN. And I think there's a bigger conversation to be had about his legacy that isn't right for this show and probably isn't right for our next show, but I do want to circle back to it at some point because
I think we can do that after the post-Mania show.
Yeah, because he has one of the more unique legacies in wrestling history.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to dive into that a little more, but, you know, best wishes to him. Hopefully he has a healthy and prosperous life going forward, you know?
I mean, you know, he went through it and then some.
Yeah.
He's apparently not even at, like, 50% recovered.
Yeah, so
it's really unfortunate. So, yeah.
But, yeah, Sean.
Best wishes to him.
Sean comes out and goes right for Vince, and security takes him down, and Vince says, you know, start the match anyway, even though it's just Cena in there. So Cena and Triple H are in the ring, and then Shane kind of jumps off the turnbuckle towards Cena, and Cena punches him. And Vince says, you know, that's a disqualification. You punch him with a closed fist, and Cena has to leave or he'll lose his WrestleMania title shot, so it becomes Sean against Triple H and Shane. And the crowd kind of turns on it because they were, you know, excited for this match as it was. I was excited for it as it was, too. And, you know, they just kind of double-teamed Sean for 10 minutes. And, like, when you've been doing that for 6 weeks, it just kind of...
Exactly.
That's the thing. Like, the Vince and Sean match itself is good, but, like...
The build is just...
And the stuff after Mania, I think, is good. We'll see. We'll see in the next couple weeks. But... You know, it just, and Cena comes back eventually to save Sean, and next week Cena's going to go one-on-one with Vince. So, again, they're really trying this Stone Cold thing with Cena, and it just doesn't really work.
I mean, I think it's fine.
Doesn't fit him. Again, this...
I get it.
It kind of feels like, you know, Triple H didn't want Cena to be the guy here at this point.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, they let him, you know.
Yeah.
They let him get his shit in. It's not like he was, like, actively trying to bury him.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, moved to SmackDown. Also from the FedEx Forum. Super Show. I don't know why. They didn't go international.
They didn't. I mean, well, they probably were just lessening some workloads.
Yeah, might have just tidied things up a little bit before Mania.
Which, to be honest with you, it seems like they're about to do in real life, too. I would not be surprised if that's... I mean, because they're putting everybody on Raw. And so SmackDown, I think next week might end up being like a clip show. Do they have a location announced for it?
Well, yeah, they're doing the Hall of Fame after. So...
I mean, they could mostly do a clip show, have the Andre or something, and like one other match. I wouldn't be surprised.
Probably do like one Brock Roman thing. And
yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you mostly do clips. You mostly do builds.
Yeah,
that's fair. And you do the Hall... Because if you're asking people to stick around for the Hall of Fame, it's kind of a tough ask to have them be...
Well, it's only going to be 2 hours or whatever more. I mean,
that's still a lot. Well, a two-hour taping and then an additional 90 minutes? You're asking a lot of people. That's why I think next week...
They did it with the Super Shows and people went to them. I mean...
Yeah, but like...
You went to one. Was it a lot?
Yes. That was before... And that was, you know, obviously before like 3 hour Raws.
Yeah.
You know, extended matches or whatever. Like, these are still pretty condensed shows. Like, I think... Yeah, I think it's going to mostly just be like... They're definitely going to go light. Because they're not going to try and fuck up anybody who's got premium spots on the weekend. So
yeah, that's fair.
Why would they, you know, risk anything?
Yeah. But yeah. Randy Orton's here to open the show. He comes out from under the stage like Rey Mysterio. He doesn't do the jump. He just kind of appears there. Randy said at Saturday night's main event, Angle and Rey showed that they didn't want to be team players because he had seen a beat and they wouldn't let him get the pin. And that's unfortunate. And he's going to get his revenge on them. Speaking of Saturday night's main event, it did not do a great rating, and that's probably why they didn't do too many more of them, because it didn't have the same allure that it did 15 years ago. Yeah, it is, because, you know, the original ones are very good.
Yeah.
I think it was good, just it didn't draw people in.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? Lashley wins the Battle Royal for the final Money in the Bank spot by eliminating Eminem, so it's Lashley, Finley, Matt Hardy, Ric Flair, Shelton Benjamin, and RVD.
Yeah.
It's a good field. Good field. I mean, yeah.
Good field.
JBL can't wrestle tonight, so William Regal's going to face Chris Benoit in his place. Mark Henry's going to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, but first he's going to beat Kurt Angle tonight. We move on to Rey Mysterio against Finley. Finley just keeps up the intensity of the whole match, as you would expect from him. Rey hits a 619 and then goes for the West Coast Pop, but Finley is able to get up and get the shillelagh, and Charles Robinson kind of blocks him from using it, but Rey still goes for the West Coast Pop and then gets RKO'd out of it by Randy Orton, which, that's cool. That one gets forgotten a little bit. It's not, you know, the Evan Bourne one or the Chad Gable one from a couple weeks ago, but yeah, it's good. Finley gets the win.
It's definitely a good one, yeah.
Booker's going to have a partner for his WrestleMania match against Boogeyman, and it will be Charmel. So, that'll be fun. Chris Benoit and William Regal are in action. JBL brings Regal to the ring in his limo, which was fun. Benoit makes Regal tap pretty quickly. They didn't really get too much time. The Velocity match from last year is very good if you want to watch that instead. Or if you don't want to actively seek out a Chris Benoit match, I understand that as well.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's time for the main event, Mark Henry against Kurt Angle. We get a ref bump late in the match, and Kurt gets the Angle lock on. But Randy comes out, and Rey comes out to take out Orton, but accidentally hits Angle. Mark Henry wins with a big splash. It was a non-title match, obviously. But, you know, Kurt and Rey, they already had heat with Randy, but they did have to kind of get heat with each other. If it's going to be a triple threat match, everyone has to not be on the same page with each other. So
exactly.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
And that was the end of the first week.
It was the end of the first week. Before we go into the second week here, there is some relevant information to discuss about the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
So, the day before, on March 23rd, 2006, we had the Sweet 16 down in Atlanta and out in Oakland. In the Atlanta region, LSU upset top-seeded Duke 62-54. Tigers are a 4-seed. And they are moving on to the Elite Eight, where they will face Texas, who beat West Virginia 74-71, I should say. So you have the 2-seeded Longhorns against the 4-seeded Tigers for a berth in the final four.
Tyrus Thomas against LaMarcus Aldridge.
I think, wasn't Glenn Davis on that LSU team too?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then, I was going to say, let's see. Yeah, so they went 20. Yep, Tyrus Thomas, Glenn Davis, Garrett Temple as well on that team.
I do wish Pierce was here for me to talk about LaMarcus Aldridge and Tyrus Thomas.
Yes, it's unfortunate.
You know.
Anyways, out west in the Oakland region, top-seeded Memphis defeated the 13-seeded Bradley Braves, who, of course, defeated Kansas and then Pitt the previous weekend to move to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, Bradley hung with them for a little bit, but
they did. Memphis won 80-64.
They couldn't do it.
That's just what are you going to do?
Patrick O'Brien got a top 10 pick out of it.
Yeah,
to Golden State.
Yeah, exactly. So we didn't have to travel there too far after that.
Yeah,
and then we had one of the most epic tournament games of all time.
Yes.
In a stunner, UCLA scored the final 11 points and defeated top-seeded Gonzaga 73-71. This is regarded, like I said, as one of the wildest tournament games ever, one of the best ever.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy comeback. I mean, I know that you have your opinions on him. I do too. But this was one of, Gus Johnson's launching points.
Oh, yeah.
For his commentary.
Absolutely.
The year before, when Vermont upsets Syracuse, it's where it started, when, the Sorrentine from the parking lot, that was one of his signature calls. This is also one of his signature calls, too. Him and Len Elmore did a fantastic job in this game. I rewatched the end of it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's wild. And, of course, as history will remind us, Gonzaga got a little bit of revenge on UCLA last year, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them are now out of the NCAA tournament this year.
They are, yes. Things are getting crazy over there.
Things are getting very crazy. So on Friday, in the Minneapolis region, top-seeded Villanova defeated 4-seeded Boston College 60-59 to move on to the Elite Eight.
My God.
And 3-seeded Florida defeated 7-seeded Georgetown 57-53 to meet Villanova in the Elite Eight.
Hmm.
So we've got Villanova and Florida playing each other in Minneapolis. And then down in D.C., George Mason, 11-seeded George Mason, who, I might add, defeated, I believe it was North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
In their second one that they had.
Yes.
In the round of 32. Yes, they defeated North Carolina, and they defeated Wichita State 63-55. That Wichita State team, of course, was coached up by Mark Turgeon. So they are on to the Elite Eight, where they will face UConn, who to this point has been relatively unchallenged this season. They lost to Marquette in January. They lost to Villanova in February. They lost their first Big East tournament game to Syracuse in overtime. But they were able to get through Albany, then Kentucky, and then they beat Washington in overtime 98-92.
Yes.
To move on to the Elite Eight. And speaking of that Elite Eight, well, on Saturday, we had LSU defeating Texas 70-60 in overtime to advance to the Final Four. If I'm not mistaken, I wonder how many Final Fours LSU had to that point. So this was their third. This was their first in 20 years. It was their fourth overall.
Yeah.
It was their first since 1986. So they are on to the Final Four. And in addition to that,
I guess they didn't make one with Shaq then.
They did not.
Hmm.
They did not. And then in the Oakland region, of course, UCLA defeated Memphis 50-45.
Gross.
Ugly ass score for an Elite Eight game. However, the Bruins are going to the Final Four.
It's their 16th Final Four.
Their 16th, yes. Quite impressive. In the Elite Eight on Sunday, Florida defeated Villanova 75-62. And for the first time since save that tidbit for later. Florida to this point, I wonder how many Final Fours that they made. I know they might have made it in...
I think it was their third. Yeah, third.
Yes, it was their third at the time and the first since 2000. And they made their first in 1994. And then, of course, making their first trip to the Final Four, and their only trip to the Final Four since. George Mason defeated UConn 86-84 in overtime. They became the first mid-major to make the Final Four since 1979, where both Penn and, of course, Indiana State and Larry Bird made the Final Four. This game, of course, came down to the freaking wire. Denham Brown made a crazy reverse layup at the end of regulation to send it to OT. Of course, Bill Raftery had a great call on that when he asked, "What can Brown do for you?" One of the more memorable games and moments in NCAA tournament history. In fact, I believe if it still plays in the intros, I don't know if it still does because I don't know how they set their intros up. But you can still, I can still hear Vern Lundquist's call of dreams do come true, and that's what.
Yeah, I mean that George Mason run was one of the best until this year, I guess. I mean, those VCU teams, I guess you could throw in there, but I mean,
yeah, St. Peter's. Go Peacocks.
And George Mason coached by Jim Larnaga.
Yeah.
Who might make it to the Final Four again this year.
Might well. Yeah, might well. They can get lucky against Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And now we move on to week two.
And if we get lucky against Kansas, Kansas sucks.
Fair enough.
Watch two of their games in the tournament. They're not good.
Charlie Moore revenge game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. So we move on to Raw. March 27th, 2006, from Omaha, Nebraska, at the CenturyLink Center.
Yes.
Don't think it was called that yet. I think it was still Quest at that point.
Yes,
but,
I believe it was the Quest
set. And it is not called that anymore either, but, you know.
I'll still call it the Clink.
Yeah. Mick Foley's here to open the show. He's ready to face Edge Sunday at WrestleMania, but it wasn't right of him to do what he did to Lita, so he got her some flowers, and he got Edge a gift, too, that he left on the stage. Edge and Lita came out. Edge wants to know how he's supposed to know that Mick's gift is not a trap. Mick says that it's not. It's something Edge can use at WrestleMania. Edge says that Mick's not going to use him to cement his legacy. Mick says it's not about that. It's personal. So it's Edge begging for mercy, but Mick can't hear him because he had his ear ripped off. Edge doesn't have to worry about his ear getting ripped off, though, because Mick wants him to hear every bit of what happens. Edge opens the box and it's a baseball bat, so Edge takes it and comes to the ring. But Mick opens the box the flowers are in and pulls out a barbed wire baseball bat, which sends Edge and Lita running. And
it's
they
a good
play,
reveal.
They play the Cactus Jack music.
That's a great reveal.
Yeah.
It's a great reveal. All right, we move on to Carlito versus Kane. Kane went for a choke slam, but Carlito pushed the ref and got disqualified. This was ended up being a trap because Kane chased after them. It was ambushed by both Kane and Murdoch along with Carlito and Masters. They threw Kane in a room and barricaded it up with a forklift. But then Big Show came in, fended them off, tried to move the forklift, and then Kane walked up to him and said that there was another door. I thought this was funny.
Yeah, it was great.
I genuinely thought that was funny. And then we just rolled right into the Master Lock Challenge. Masters couldn't quite get it locked in. Hit a cheap shot. Big Show fought back, however, and chokeslammed
him. Yep.
So they kind of got what they deserved.
Yes.
This was, and we got a very, very good video package for Triple H, John Cena. I assume we'll be getting it on Sunday for WrestleMania.
Yes.
However, this was really excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that they would do more shit like this.
Yeah,
this
I agree.
This was really, really well done.
Tony Atlas going into the Hall of Fame. That's fun. Class is getting kind of big here.
We'll
but...
see Tony Atlas on maybe this podcast one day.
Yes.
Who knows? Who's to say?
True.
Then we get Triple H versus Shawn Michaels. Of course, a couple minutes into the match, Vince came to ringside to watch. Shawn went for Sweet Chin Music. Vince grabbed his leg, however, so Shawn punched Vince. And turned around right into a pedigree. Triple H grabbed the sledgehammer and Vince held Shawn up, but Cena came out to save Shawn. Cena and Triple H brawled. Cena threw him over the top rope. Triple H fleed. Vince said that Cena can have Michaels in his corner when they wrestle tonight because Vince will have Triple H in his corner.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get a Ric Flair promo. And then Shelton came out after Ric Flair rambled for a little bit and said that no one wants to hear from Ric Flair because he's an old dipshit, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Summarized here. I agree with Shelton. He's more athletic than anyone in the Money in the Bank ladder match, and it's going to be his night on Sunday. Shelton punched Flair, RVD came out, hit the Rolling Thunder onto a ladder, and said the Money in the Bank will be his, but Flair gets up, poked RVD in the eye, and then hit him with the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Good build here.
Yes.
Good build here. I like the build, and I also appreciate the resistance not to use anyone from SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Spirit Squad defeated Velvinus, Visser, and Eugene, attacked Eugene after. I don't know why you need that on your WrestleMania go-home show.
Filler, I guess.
I guess after Triple H Michaels and the, you know, segment, they want people to have a chance to...
catch their breath.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
William the Refrigerator Perry is going into the Hall of Fame, the winner of the NFL Battle Royal at, or, I don't think he did win.
I don't think he did win.
He eliminated,
I'm pretty sure, because I'm pretty sure Andre won.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
Yeah.
I think, didn't William Perry, like, help eliminate Big John Studd? Isn't that what he did? Yeah.
I think he did, yeah.
Mickey's in a room with pictures of Trish all over the wall and candles around her. Mickey's admired Trish for years, but this Sunday her obsession isn't just going to be to beat Trish, it's going to be to destroy her. Trish was watching it, and she's pretty spooked, but she has to go have a match. And she does, and her and Tori beat Candice and Victoria. Then we move to Vince McMahon against John Cena. Vince doesn't want any interference, so he says that Triple H and Shawn have to be handcuffed to the ropes. They do some collar and elbows and test the strength. Vince kicks Cena in the groin for disqualification, throws Triple H a handcuff key. Triple H goes and hits Cena with the sledgehammer and goes outside. On one side of Shawn, and Vince goes on the other, and Triple H hits him in the ribs with the hammer, and Vince hits him with a chair, and Michaels and Cena are bleeding to end the show.
You know what? Not the worst idea.
No?
Not the worst idea for this build. I don't think, at least. I think that the build for this match has been really good.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed watching this feud. It's felt big. Felt very big. And I think that that's important, because I know people were mad at John Cena for just existing at this point.
Yeah.
But the trick is to elevate him and to make him feel even more important. And this, a year after the coronation, this is going to be the validation.
Yes.
And because he's going to start going on a validation tour now. And yes, there will be some skip-ups along the way, as we know. But the validation tour is beginning.
Yes.
And it will be paid off in full. Nothing really happened in the world of sports this week, for the record. I mean, there's a lot of, like, there's some UEFA Cup stuff that happens at the end of the week. Cricket and whatnot. And
all right, so we move to SmackDown here.
Yes, we can move to SmackDown, indeed.
From Kansas City, Missouri, the Kemper Arena, one of the last events they run there. I think they have a pay-per-view there next year, and that's about it, because the Sprint Center is going to open soon.
Quick question before I move on. Do you, because this is going to happen on Sunday when we talk about Mania, but this is just a preview. Do you remember what the opening game was for MLB that season?
I do, because I just saw it. It's Cleveland and the White Sox in Chicago.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that. It makes sense.
Rey Mysterio is here to open the show. His dreams are going to come true Sunday when he'll wrestle for the World Heavyweight Championship, but there's someone who has a problem with that, so Rey would like to have a match with Randy Orton tonight, so he asks Teddy Long to come out and make the match, but Kurt Angle comes out. Kurt says he's going to retain his title, but Kurt wants a match with Randy. Randy comes out and wants to know why they're both so upset, and both Kurt and Ray say they're going to face Randy tonight, and they kind of argue amongst themselves, and Randy says, you know, he could just face both of them in a handicap match, but he's not going to, because WrestleMania is coming up, so he's going to hit the road and get a head start to Chicago. Teddy Long comes out and says that the handicap match actually sounds like a good idea, but Kurt and Ray are still arguing in the ring, so Teddy says that they're going to do Kurt against Ray tonight instead, and Randy is banned from the building.
Banned from the building. See
how that goes. Chris Benoit is in action against Road Warrior. Is his name now just Road Warrior? He's not Animal anymore. He doesn't want to hear about the Legion of Doom legacy anymore. You know, I get that they brought him in and they did the tag stuff and they had to sell the DVDs, but is he there for any reason other than who his brother is at this point?
Nope.
I mean,
nope.
Benoit gets the win pretty easily because he's facing Road Warrior Animal. Yeah.
JBL commended him after the match, called him a great technical wrestler, but he beat another great technical wrestler for a title as well.
Yeah, he's talking about Eddie Guerrero.
He is. That is correct.
JBL then beats a jobber. Miz is coming. He was at Titan Tower.
Yeah, these video packages are getting good.
Yeah. Miz was causing a real ruckus at Titan Tower, showing everyone how to do their jobs and stuff. And, yeah, the plan at this point is for him to come in and feud with Palmer Cannon, so won't happen, which is good, because that would have been bad.
Yeah. We got Booker T versus Paul Burchill. Boogeyman's music comes on. Booker got counted out. He came out from under the ring, carried Charmel backstage, and Booker chased after her.
Yeah.
More camp. Mm-hmm. I should have meant. Boogeyman came out from under the ring and carried 2022 Hall of Famer Charmel.
Yeah, there you go. Matt Hardy is in action with Tatanka and Lashley against Eminem and Finlay. Eminem goes for a snapshot on Matt Hardy, but Lashley breaks it up, and then Matt Hardy hits Twist of Fate for the win. So Hardy and Lashley were on the same page tonight, but Sunday, in the Money in the Bank match, it's every man for himself.
Well, here's my question. What, you asked the point of Road Warrior Animal. What is the point of Tatanka?
They just needed another.
I guess, but like, couldn't you have just had... If you weren't having the tag champs there, which you obviously weren't, why don't you just do a tag with Hardy and Lashley and then involve Finlay with it somehow?
Well, because it's the Money in the Bank, you know. All the guys are Money in the Bank, so you need three on each side.
Well, you could have put, like... Well, what does Finlay need a match for?
Well,
he doesn't have to have one. He could just come out and beat the shit out of him.
Well, because if you only put two of the Money in the Bank guys in there, it's kind of weird.
Well, not really. I mean, if you can't find enough... Okay. Hear me out. You're insisting on using Road Warrior Animal, right?
Yeah.
How about you use Finlay to beat the crap out of him?
Yeah. You could have.
You could have just done a segment with Benoit and JBL, I feel.
Yeah.
If your goal is to keep them all afloat, why don't you just do it that way?
Yeah, that's true.
Because Tatanka, as far as I know, was he even in the pre-show Battle Royal?
I don't think I had the DVD, so I don't know for sure. I know Viscera won it. It does not appear that Tatanka was in it, no. So...
My point exactly.
Yeah.
But Road Warrior was.
Yeah.
Whoa, or you could, or do Finlay versus Tatanka.
Yeah.
I just don't think you need to have somebody who's going to be in Money in the Bank lose going into it.
Yeah.
Raw had the right idea with their build.
That's fair.
And like I said, if you want to keep them all afloat, have Finlay beat up Tatanka. You don't even have to have it be a regular match. Have him beat him up before the bell and just prove a point that he's a brawler and he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And he's going to win Money in the Bank because he's the most physical wrestler that there is in the match.
That's fair.
Very simple.
Mark Henry's here in a full suit.
Not a salmon-colored suit.
No.
A full suit.
He listed all the people that Undertaker's beat at WrestleMania and showed their picture on the Titantron. The first time that Undertaker beat Kane, they just used the WrestleMania 20 picture, which frustrated me.
Sure. Yeah. Very annoying. Also, technically speaking, I always get annoyed when they say this, too. It's just a thing. He said 13 people or whatever. It's like...
Well, technically...
Because
he beat Kane twice, but he also beat...
He did have the handicap.
Yeah, so it evens out.
Fair enough, yeah. Fair enough. Because actually, I did think that the first time. Then it's like, okay, that's
but right. Yeah, the undefeated streak is going to end Sunday. Again, this is the second year they really made
second
the streak a big thing.
Yeah, exactly. Second year they made it a big thing. And they're having to face someone very imposing.
Yes. The Mexicools are in action against Jamie Noble and Kid Cash. It's a fun team. You know, get the cruiserweights involved. They're all going to be in the Battle Royal probably, so you might as well get them featured here. Mexicools get the win. I don't know if they're going to keep something going with that after. Or,
they are.
You know, yeah. So.
What I remember, I don't know. I don't think that they ever won the tag titles, but I know that Noble and Cash get a nice little run as a tag team.
Yeah.
They're fun.
Booker is still looking for Charmelle backstage. He follows a trail of worms, and he finally finds her, surrounded by a bunch of worms, and he grabs her, and they leave.
Boogeyman is just in the background.
Yes. And then it's time for Rey Mysterio against Kurt Angle, and...
Shockingly, this is a very good match.
Yeah, very good. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Kurt countered the 619 into the ankle lock, which is crazy.
Crazy.
And Rey tapped out. Randy snuck in and gave Rey an RKO. He goes to give one to Kurt. Kurt reverses it, and it's the angle slam and puts Randy in the ankle lock. So champion stands tall to end the show.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah.
That's a wrap. So, like we said, we'll be back again for an all WrestleMania podcast from both 22 and 38. We will get that to you later on this week before the festivities begin on basically Friday. I mean, you know, with SmackDown and beyond.
Well, yeah, I mean, Monday is WrestleMania Raw. How they're branding it,
that's
so.
That doesn't work for me because you're not doing anything for Mania Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Well, yeah.
I think that's dumb. That's dumb branding. It's very stupid. But what should I come to expect? Anyways, follow BarbaShare at BarbaShareNet. Subscribe to all of our podcasts here on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And you know the rest. For Rob, I'm Chris. Enjoy your days.
Money. Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.